Well, good evening and welcome to our Wednesday webcast with me, Scott Casson-Rennie. Al Coults. Hi, Al.
Hello.
Hello. He's a little bit delayed tonight. His Wi-Fi is a bit up and down, so we'll have to bear with him, I think. But he's pulling all the levers and pressing all the buttons tonight. And we are joined by the lovely, well, she seems lovely from the 10 minutes chat we've just had. And I think we're going to have quite a good laugh.
Yeah,
is Helen Townsend from Beacon House. So hi, Helen.
Hi. Nice to meet you guys properly.
And you.
And you.
So go on.
No, what I was going to say, I didn't know, but there's this connection between me and Helen because some of the stuff that I authored with Dr. Wendy Thorley is actually, she was did the illustrations for, and I didn't know that. I knew it was Helen Townsend. I didn't know it was Helen Townsend.
Yeah, that one.
See, now you've said that, that clicks because the name Helen Townsend, I knew, but not in this capacity. And well, there you go.
Yeah.
What about that?
It's the inner world work stuff, the survival in primary school stuff. And
which is a fantastic report.
Oh, well, I've known your work for years, Helen. So
thanks very much.
Now, so before we crack on and let you introduce yourself, Al's got a very important advertisement to make, haven't you, Mr. Coults?
Yes, and I'm going to try much harder than I did last week. So on the 12th of March 2021, there is going to be a short morning practice learning event, which Scott and I are going to host and deliver for adoptive parents, special guardians, any parent who's struggling to manage the challenging or difficult or complicated behavior of their children. And that is going to be, this is really boring doing like this, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds boring.
It does sound boring. Yeah, I'm not telling it. Anyway. We're going to do 9:30 till 12:30. We're going to record it. People can listen to it afterwards if they sign up. It's going to be £25 a person. But if you buy four tickets, you get one free. So you get five for the price of four. Thank you. I've been practicing that at home all week. You can get, we've already sold, we're pushing towards 70 tickets, aren't we, Scott? So we're kind
of... Yeah, we're only wanting to sell 20, haven't we? Don't know how that's happened.
20. I keep us in busy pop. The link to that is on our Facebook page, or it's on, I'll put it on my blog. You can put it on your blog, Scott. We'll put it on Twitter. And if you want to get involved or you want to email us through what's our email address? aandfpodcast.com email address. Anyway. Look, if that bothers, they'll find us. It's like one of those trick games, isn't it? If you can find us.
Well, to be fair, the amount of spam email that we get and Bitcoin requests, there's people looking, but anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm bored of talking because people are not here to listen to me. They're here to listen to me.
And next week, I might do the advertisement, because you've had two chances now and you've let us down both times, but never mind. Anyway, let's move on. So we are joined by Helen Townsend. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, Helen. We've resurrected our Wednesday webcast, given that we're all in lockdown. And last week we had Stuart Guest on, and I know you've listened to, if not all of it, the majority of content.
Yeah, all of it. Love Stuart.
And the whole aim of the Wednesday webcast generally is just kind of to power people up, but also to give them kind of accessible information and stuff. So before we go into all that, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us all about yourself within 90
all about
seconds?
Me? God, no, you don't want that. Nice to say hi. So my name's Helen. I work for Beacon House as their creative advisor. So I do all their artwork and all their resources. I work with all the psychologists and the team there to create everything. I like to leech stuff from their brains and then get it on paper because I want it all out in the world if I can get it. And then I also do therapeutic life story work there for them in my kind of clinician role. And then on the side, I've got inner world work, which is more free resources. And then I'm also an adoptive parent as well and just a normal human and a dog owner, most importantly.
See, isn't that interesting? Because actually... I didn't know until Al said about inner world works, but I definitely didn't know you were an adoptive parent. So,
did you not? You go. Oh, God, yeah. Like, no. I couldn't tell. I'm surprised they haven't been screaming yet, actually. No, they're fine. They're in bed.
she says, So, tell us a little bit more about Beacon House, because they've been quite active, and I don't know the word I'm looking for there, but during the lockdowns and stuff like that, they've been really supportive of families and trying to get some resources, it's free or very, well-costed to be able to access, as well as doing webinars and all that sort of stuff. So give us a bit of a background on where the Beacon House came from.
So we're a therapeutic service, and we specialise in trauma, developmental trauma. We were a lot of adoptive families, and it started because my boss Shosh, Shoshana Banana.
That's how you remember.
That's the official name, Shoshana Banana. She wanted to do something that could reach the families that were falling through the gaps, really, and wanted to approach therapy in a way that matched how the brain developed and where the issues start in the brain. So we follow the neurosequential model that Dr. Bruce Perry has his groundbreaking research on it. But we've also got a load of other models that we bring in, and it's quite a big team now with lots of different, I've completely forgotten the posh word for it. Loads of different therapists that do lots of different things. And and so we've got drama therapists, OTs, systemic family therapists, psychologists. So there's loads of them. And the idea is that we, when we see a family, they come in and we spend a long time with them in the assessment process, formulating a plan on how we can best help. And that plan tends to focus in on where the kind of brain was hurt to start with and what that then needs. So a child that has been removed from their birth family at an early age normally needs to start with an OT or some kind of play therapy, and then they move up kind of the ladder. Mm-hmm. And because we work with so many different therapists, it means that we can kind of see them through their whole journey, which is really cool and a bit unique and quite special, actually.
And Beacon House isn't like years old, is it? It's quite a...
No, I can't. I'll get it wrong. I think it's 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it's not.
It's got quite a dynamic team, and we're all quite keen to, do our best and get a lot of... One of the passions that everyone has got is that we also make as much free, accessible stuff as possible. So I think we use the line something like getting the information to the people who need it. So rather than keeping it all behind a nice, expensive fence, get it out. Because what's the point? It's not going to help anyone. Yeah. You know, we're never going to run out of clients. Like, let's get the information out to people that need it. And that's my biggest passion. And luckily, my boss's biggest passion. And we work together and, pour it out as much as we can. And it seems to match what's going on in my family life as well.
Well,
so there tends to be a resource.
Yeah.
It's almost like and we're having a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably a little bit like us doing the podcast, because obviously we try and do what we can for free, or if not, as close to free.
Exactly.
But it's almost like a little support group when Al and I kind of sit having a rant or a conversation. So it must be the same with you at work. And I remember, my time at Adoption UK when I worked there, and, having colleagues who were in the same boat, it helps.
And they know, and not having to over explain yourself is really it's less exhausting. But also having someone say, you describe something and then have someone say, oh, that sounds like this fancy term, and then you go, whoa, break that down into normal people language, and then let's so everybody can understand it.
I have to say that to Al a lot.
Come on, Al.
So take us back a year then, and nearly a year, I guess, when all this kind of started to kick off. And so what was the initial thoughts with Beacon House and how they were going to approach this? I mean, where did you start with it all?
It was a bit of a shock at first, wasn't it? It kind of seemed to...
A little bit.
Oh, yeah, I cannot believe that it's been in the year nearly. Well, the whole idea was we wanted to stay connected. So for us, one of the biggest things is connection. And it kind of, apart from safety and regulation, it's one of the biggest key things. So we wanted to stay connected to the people outside. So we just came up with some more resources that we thought would be helpful. And our therapists all joined in, and we have some videos of therapists at home doing stuff, like Candia, one of our OTs, did a gym and showed all the different regulatory aspects of that. And we've got people doing meditation. Our OT, Ruth, did a finger gym for fine motor skills. I think we've got one on screensavers and working on the computer all the time. So there's tons on there. We've already got tons on there, but we just wanted to stay connected because people feel so alone, and especially people feel alone anyway. And then suddenly we are all actually alone. It's not nice, is it?
No. Yeah.
Can I confess, and this is really embarrassing, right?
Oh, here we go.
So go with it. Is that when you said Beacon House, Scott, in my head something happened between my ears and my brain and confused it with somewhere called Beach Lodge.
Oh, that's a skill. And
that's a skill, you dimwit.
So exactly.
So he's been researched in the wrong place, in other words.
But you've had Daniela
on,
haven't you? You must have.
I know I have. And so up to about 3 minutes ago, I was going, what a progressive school, all these therapists.
Oh, my
what an absolute
that's hilarious. Tool.
Right, I need to really think. Yeah, so that's just me kind of highlighting why I'm looking a bit freaked out. I'm just feeling right, dunky. So keep going.
I'm really shocked. I'm shocked and I'm disappointed, to be said. But you know,
it does
whatever.
Begin with a B.
Yeah, and also this is so unlike Mr. Coates, and for him to admit it as well, live on Facebook and Twitter, that's quite that is quite good actually.
I don't know what to say.
I'm going to dine out on that forevermore. Let me tell you.
Don't ask me education questions, please.
I was about to go in about SATs and key stages.
I mean, we don't even do like remote learning. I'm not going to be able to answer you.
Keep going, Scott.
Clearly, I'm going to have to keep cracking on with this because Mr. Coates is going to be no good. Why don't you just do a little Google search there, and then you can come in with some questions at the end.
Man, can you imagine if he actually started asking me school questions? I'd be great.
To be fair, he probably was gonna as well. So right, so anyway, back to Helen and your team are Beacon House, staying connected. So how were people able to access the services that you do?
Yeah, so we have on our website basically, so we've got we try and get as much on there as possible. So we have a whole resources page packed full. There's loads on there for free that anyone can access and use, and also use in their own work and at schools. Schools use it for presentations and all sorts. So we give free access to anyone to use it. And we've also got a special COVID section. And including on there is videos as well, so we make animations too, just because it's, you know, we shouldn't be the only ones. Yeah, it takes a long time though. But yeah it is. So it's all on the website, and then we've got a training page, and the majority of the training is as cheap as we can make it to make sure it's accessible. And then we've also got a young people's page as well, and an art page where young people that either work with us or that have worked with us in the past contribute all their artwork and their processing on how they have processed some of the things that they've been going through. And I find that quite inspiring as well. So there's a lot on there for free.
I've returned to normal. I've just quickly Googled it and I've put the website in the comments.
Look at that.
Yep, my version of normal. And can I ask then, because I'm conscious there was a lot of children who were perhaps midway through sort of therapeutic services and all of a sudden what would have perhaps been sat in a room or kind of people in and out of houses, face-to-face stuff. So did you transfer some of those services into a, you know, like a Zoom, whatever, online version, or did you, what was your initial response into kind of trying to keep that continuity for children and families?
Yeah, exactly. So important. So, we went on to online, the majority of us, and got really creative with how we did it. You know, it's frustrating because particularly those that are in the momentum of doing something, and there's such a, it's a, such a connection you can have with someone in a room that it's not quite the same on a screen. But we did, so the OTs got involved, they got parents involved, setting up things in the house to do. They got really creative, actually. We found like online sandboxes, they could do sand tray work, and lots of drawing as well. So yeah, we went online, and also walking, getting out and walking and talking where it was safe in the areas that were safe too. But the majority of it was online, yeah, because that continuity is so important. And some people really liked that separation from, it felt a bit safer. A lot didn't, and that's okay too, because it is so different. And in that case, then we had checking in sessions. So rather than a full hour of therapy, we'd have 10 minutes just saying hi. Yes, we're still here. We still think about you, or send a card where it was possible. But yeah, that's really important. But therapists across the country, I've seen them doing amazing things. Keeping in touch, because that connection is essential, really.
Did it surprise you how quickly people adjusted to it?
Yeah, especially the panic when we said we're going to need to go online, and I was running around the building downloading Zoom into people's computers. But actually, once they'd adapted, they were really, like, the drama therapists were creating storyboards on, like, amazing fairy tale storyboards with characters, and then you can also save stuff off that, so then you've got actual work.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, it was, the initial challenge.
Well, I was comparing it to the schools because, I mean, I don't live in England anymore, but where I live, we're in our third, fourth, fifth, sixth lockdown, whatever it is. And like you, this is the second time the schools have been closed, and the difference is very stark between the first lockdown and this lockdown, how everything is done. So it's much more structured. There's much more emphasis on timetables and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And do you think has there been a difference between the first lockdown and the subsequent ones, or did you never really go back to normal?
It was such a short gap. It was
there were still restrictions and stuff.
Yeah, we had to be careful. The OTs went back because some of the work just couldn't. It was important that the work got done and we couldn't do it online. Some people went back and we had a really strict, well, we have a really strict COVID protocol at work that we have to follow if we're in a room with a client. So I think I got 3 sessions in before I got locked down again. Yeah, I think people are more used to it now, aren't they? So it's more normal, sadly. I can't wait to get back to face-to-face, though. We have a really strict one-way system and cleaning process. And so, yeah, we were able to do a couple of months before it went down again.
Because even that's quite peculiar, isn't it? Because I did some work into a school, and there was kind of this slightly awkward level of distance between people that was probably more disconcerting than actually being on Zoom, because it was like, why are you not sat next to me? How can you have a maybe intimate strong word, but kind of a really connect?
Exactly.
We have to shout at them across a room.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I'm lucky because I have a big roll of wallpaper between me, being a therapeutic life story worker. So it was very natural. Oh, yeah. So I got props. I think we tend to see quite a broad range of difficulties. And as a specialist trauma team, we are used to dealing with awkward and hard situations. So we just went with the flow. And because the relationships are built so strongly,
it
seems to have been okay-ish.
So thinking about that then, clearly we're in this situation that we're in. The kids are back off school again. Who knows until when? One of the reasons, obviously, we've started up the Wednesday webcast is for that reason, because we feel that we should be doing a little bit of service. So Beacon House, clearly doing lots of good things. What, where would you start in terms of giving little bits of advice to parents who are, you know, a couple of kind of people spring to mind when I'm about to say this, but, you know, who are really struggling at the minute, they're struggling with thinking of single parents who are at home on their own, and, you know, their bubbles aren't, you know, so where do we start? Where do we look to find? I mean, obviously we can go on your website, but I mean in terms of the practical sense, you know.
Yeah, let's not talk anymore. Let's just go to resources.
What sort of things can you be doing to, you know, to try and help us?
Yeah, I've got a couple of different. I'll come back to that question as well. But we have made. I asked the team when I knew that I was coming on here, and I asked the team to give me their ideas, and we've made you guys a resource as well. So remind me to give you the address properly in a bit. But
is there pictures? Did you draw on it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Of course.
Oh my days. Oh, I'm excited.
So we made you a special resource with loads of ideas from the so all the therapists contributed to that, which was lovely. It's a big question, isn't it? First of all, it's safety, isn't it? Like, bottom line, is everyone safe? Because right now, all those lovely, beautiful parenting goals of, you know, having a therapeutic relationship and love and harmony is all very distant if things aren't safe. So how can you establish safety? What does that look like as well in individual houses? Because what is safe in my house, certainly not safe in another house, depending on your levels of violence and your levels of trauma and how people have found the routine of not going to school, because I know some kids have absolutely loved not being at school and it's settled them and home is a safe place and that feels good. But for others, it's that routine with routine comes safety, doesn't it? So first of all, boring, but are you safe? And what does that look like for you guys? So does that mean that to keep safe, you are going to be on the television for 6 hours while I work? Because if I don't work, we're not going to have money to pay the mortgage or the rent, and then we don't have a house. That's the reality. So that's one reality. Or do you need to be on an iPad for 2 hours so you don't hit me, so I can sit in the kitchen and have a cup of tea or a Diet Coke and try and get myself back to some kind of regulated, I don't know, as regulated as you can be, so I can come back and parent you in a safer way. There's lots of different realities when it comes to safety, but that's, I'd say, probably the foundation. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. No, you can't say mm-hmm. Is that?
No, it does. she's feisty. Honestly, they didn't tell me this when I invited you on.
No, but if you're a dysregulated parent, if you're a dysregulated adult, so if you're all out of your body and you're not managing yourself, there is no way that you can bring a child down. So there's no point. You need to put yourself first, basically. And I know that it's boring and samey and everyone says it, but it's the truth. So you need to make sure that you can have a baseline. It might not be Pinterest baseline of, meditation and wonderfulness and fluffy pillows and blankets, but it could be that you can talk without having an angry tone in your voice, and that might just have to be enough or not. It's hard. Or it might be that you can have the angry tone in your voice but you're not shouting, and that has to be the baseline. But wherever it is, where can you bring it down to, and how do you do that with the resources that you have? That really should be one of the first priorities, because what else can happen until you are kind of where you can be, even if that means hiding in the toilet for a while, which I love. to it.
I actually saw somebody who said that the other day. They said, oh, yeah, homeschooling is going really well this morning. I'm hiding in the toilet. And I was okay. Right.
Whatever you need to do, frankly. And of course, if we think, when we're talking, when people talk about therapeutic parenting and we talk about high nurture and high structure being like the pillars of that, it's very hard to do those things when that's being rejected and thrown back at you. To maintain that. Mm. And that's hard enough to do when we're not on top of each other. So maintaining that when, you know, 24/7 with these people. It's really hard because that constant rejection's coming in. So I suppose
is it wrong to kind of try and say things like, so I feel free not to answer if you don't want to, but I often find myself going, can you just please remember we're all in the same boat with this? You know, I'm not able to go out either, and you know, I know you're not able to go to school, and I really feel bad that you can't go to school, but you know, is it wrong to keep repeating that, or is that kind of
I don't think there's a wrong or right. Aren't you modelling your feelings there? So as long as you're not saying it's your fault, it's your fault I can't get out of this house. I can't leave because you're too young. Or, you know, like that.
Yeah, why can you be 18 already?
But of course, modelling, this is really hard. Yeah, no wonder you're angry. I'm really angry too. And if, you know, if you've got the language, I'm really pissed off too. Yeah, COVID shit. You know, if that's part of the lexicon of the household. Because it is, it's horrible. And if you're going around pretending everything's fine, that's going to be out of odds with how they're feeling. Great.
I like that point, the idea that, you need all the validating you can get, mate. But I just really like this idea that that people need permission to go, actually, today I'm on thin ice. Just watch Telly.
Oh my God. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that's not, but that the fact that you've got permission to do that, and that's, you can't do that every day for the rest of your life, but it's kind of saying in that sense, it's an empowering kind of way of doing stuff, isn't it? It's kind of saying, right, you're the adult, you're going to call it out and say, actually, I'm going to put school over here. I'm going to put other priorities here. Right now, it's just about, I need to do my work, or
absolutely. I need to
do the laundry or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, let's not do that. But yeah, exactly. And someone said to me the other day about, it was to do with dogs, which is not the parallel I want to bring up, but it was really interesting that it was a nervous dog was being trained, and the trainer said, oh, she's having a day off today because she needs a day off from feeling stress. And I thought, of course. One of them. And like pre-lockdown, I'd used to have like yes days. I'm going to say yes to everything today. Don't care. I just need a day where I am not the one putting boundaries in place. No. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you do. You need to give yourself permission to have a day off. That has extended a bit longer in lockdown, but that's okay, because I suppose my baseline is, are we safe? Am I being safe? Are they being safe? Are we safe? Yes. Okay, great. That's our foundation. Now, where can we go from here? I need to work today. Right, I'm working. You're going to watch telly for 3 hours. Then I'm going to come and feed you, and we'll reconnect and play a jigsaw or play Switch or whatever. And then you're going to have to watch telly for again. That's okay, because you have to work. I need to pay the mortgage. Actually, we don't do any homeschooling at all. Because home's a safe place and school isn't safe for them. So it just doesn't happen, and that's okay.
And I think there's going to be more than just, you know, the three of us sitting here thinking like that as well. You know, I mean, I remember the first lockdown, it took 4 weeks for Jacob, who's 14, to even think about engaging. And even when he did, it was very kind of sporadic and, you know, and we didn't push him. But homework is the same for us. You see, home is a safe place, but it's very interesting, because having done the first lockdown where he did online learning, he actually came home and did homework, because he now associates doing a little bit of homework at home, you see, which is fascinating, I think. Yeah. But then on the back of that, the other day, I had to kick him out of the office to do some work. And we have two computers. One is a laptop, one is a computer. And I needed a laptop in the office because I needed the privacy to talk. So he had access
to
nothing.
And
I felt like he was marked off for two subjects. And I had to message the school and say, I'm really sorry, but I have to work. So, you know, it's that balance, isn't it? But a lot of parents are going to be, you know, listening to this and thinking, wow, yeah, okay, I can give myself that permission if it has to happen.
Yeah, and if that is for the whole of lockdown, then that is kind of for the whole of lockdown, because actually, I'm not saying abandon your kids in front of the telly at all, but if... No, but the reality is, if you were both, you know, if you're a single parent or you're a couple and you're both having to work full time, what else can you do? And your child isn't able to sit in front of a computer for 6 hours a day, which, like you, ours are taken up. There's no spare computers. What is the other option? They apply themselves to school, but you don't have a home at the end of it because you've earned their money. It doesn't make sense at all. And as long as you are reconnecting, it's probably quite important I say that.
Yeah.
As long as you're bringing the connection back at lunchtime.
And I think that probably the benefits of reconnecting as well is when they do eventually go back to school, that hopefully there'll be a little bit of a kind of, I don't want to use the word improvement, but, you know, when they go back to school, school will notice a change, and because they've had that connection, they've had something they've never had or that they've not had for that great amount of time, and actually it'll help them be less stressy at school, and, you know, help behaviours and all that sort of stuff.
It might do, and it might not, and that's okay, because actually they are them, and some will cope better than others. But I suppose, what did I think of when you were saying that? It was... I might be wrong, I've definitely noticed with my eldest, it's changed his perspective on what school means. Right. So school is suddenly not quite the dark place he thought it was. Because home is suddenly dark, but it's because he didn't have a choice. he didn't have a choice, and now he has a choice. He doesn't now, but do you know what I mean? When he was able to go back. And actually it helped him to shift a perspective. And really at the end of the day, if they miss stuff now, what's going to happen? They can learn. They can learn at any point in their lives. But my relationship, that can be ruptured in a matter of weeks. So I'm definitely not going to choose school over my relationship.
Yeah.
And have you communicated that to school? Or have you, have you had that frank conversation, said, look, this is how we are operating because we're really prioritizing that connection, that safety. And if you get, you know, if you read a couple of pages of a book a day, we're going to be happy with that.
Yeah, had that. We have two schools personally. One that we work with more closely than the other, depending on the need, because my youngest is more high need. And he goes in for a couple of hours, but he's mainly at home. And it is, they know that I prioritise connection. And I think because I've always said we don't do homework, we don't bring home anything, they weren't surprised by the fact that I'm not doing anything at home. But I am doing things. We're
just sitting on the sofa drinking tea and while the kids are watching.
We're on the Switch the whole time. It's great. but we are. We go out. We have dogs, so we have to walk every day. And I make them move. Moving their bodies is so important anyway, particularly for kids that had a more tricky start. They need to use their bodies to regulate. So, you know, we go out. We go to the woods. We walk down the road if we have to, if that's all that they can manage at that point. Shove them out in the garden. Like, they buried themselves in mud the other day. I don't know why. That's okay.
That's okay. Yeah.
I don't care. As long as they're happy. No, I do care, obviously. But why I'd rather they learn that our relationship is secure than me stressing about whether they can do long division. They'll learn that.
I think one of the challenges, though, that often the families that we're working with are not so much the children. I mean, the children are the children. But the impact of caring for children who are vulnerable, and that can be quite exhausting. So it means that sometimes our families get drawn into being vulnerable as well. And it just feels like that's where we need to focus on. If you can get the parents on an even keel.
Yes.
And keep the kids safe.
That's where preach. yeah, definitely. The majority of the time, the work, I wish that there was more funding for parents, because actually the majority of the time the work should be there to start with, because pretty much everyone has had something happen to them in their lives that can be triggered when they are parenting a vulnerable child, and that comes up and then that's sat in their system and they're trying to parent, you know, someone else with their own stuff. It's just this big storm. And actually what would be more ideal is if the money went to the parents to start with, to get them on an even keel, and then we could move into the child, because young people need that secure base, don't they? But the funding kind of, it's a bit of an oversight, really. It's the same with money should really go straight to the birth family to begin with, but...
That's another conversation.
Exactly. That's another conversation. The adoption support fund was obviously there was a loosening on the constraints of the adoption support fund to support parents and offer therapeutic support. So has Beacon House, as well as the huge range of school stuff that Beacon House does, in my imagination. I was wondering why you don't send your own children there. Anyway, that's another story. I'm so embarrassed. Have you been doing that work? Have you been able to access that funding and do work with adults?
Yeah, we work. We have used the ASF, it's a priority is getting the parents to a point where they can be the co-therapists, because that's what we need. We need them on board. Really, actually, at the end of the day, therapy is 1 hour a week. That the work needs to be at home most of the time, and that's exhausting and relentless, because trauma is really hard. And these poor kids and their body, holding it all in their bodies by themselves, and they need someone to do that with them. And if you haven't helped the parent, then it's harder. So we always work straight away with the parents where we can. Definitely.
We've got a question. Nice. Yeah. Hi, Helen. Can you tell us a bit about how you take a complex psychological idea and turn it into a resource for parents? And what is the process for that?
Okay. Yes, I can. It's my favourite thing. One of my favourite things to do.
So glad you said that, because I had concerns that this was going to be one of the ones you said you couldn't answer earlier.
No, I can't answer questions about schools. That is what I can't answer.
Right. Okay.
This is going to last for years, isn't it?
I mean, I feel like I could make it go for years, let alone you.
Exactly.
it's brilliant. So I've got access to all these therapists, which is brilliant. So that's 40 different minds that I can mine for information. So it usually starts with me going, my kid's done this and I don't get it. And then one of them goes, I think you're fine. They don't talk like that at all. They love it. that sounds like projective identification. And I'll go, what the hell is that? And then they'll explain it to me and I'll go, that's too complicated. I'm going to draw it. You tell me what you're talking about and I'll draw it down. And then we'll refine it. And then we'll come up with something that I can understand. But the foundation is always, can I understand this? Could I have understood this when I was traumatized? Because I started at Beacon House as a client, because we were on the verge of breakdown as a family. And they helped us come back from that. But the way I process things is through imagery. So I would draw what the therapists were telling me, because that's how that helped me understand it, and that kind of spiraled. But I always need to know that back when I was really poorly, could I have understood it? And that's the baseline, because I might be wrong, but that's when I needed the help. That's when I needed to reach out and understand things. But I couldn't sit down and read a whole book. It was too much. So I needed one page to go, that's it.
I was going to say, sometimes you just need to see one image, one square of a cartoon or whatever, just to go,
Exactly. And it changes the way you process information. When you pair information with art, it can be felt in your body in a different way. And things that are felt in your body can be processed a little bit more, not easily, but kind of maybe be understood a bit better. So yeah, we found kind of this magic formula that I mind their brains and things come out of it, and it's weird and wonderful, and I understand things like the truncated response, which is my favourite thing in the entire planet, which changed my parenting life. Which have you heard of this truncated response? It's amazing.
No, but you can probably explain it better than anybody else.
Because I wish I hadn't said that, because I wanted to explain. No, forget I said that. Is this live? Can we edit it out?
Sadly not. If anybody wants to know what it is, just ask the question and we'll pop up on the screen.
So that guys, don't ask the question on that. But it is amazing. It did change. Oh, God, I probably should explain it a bit, shouldn't I? It's the idea that...
you can.
Yeah, I'm going to... It won't be posh words. It'll be...
That's even better.
Bumbling brain. So it's the idea that someone who... So a small baby who... is potentially being hurt by being hit, say there's a baby being hit by his father and he can't protect himself because he's a small baby, there's nowhere to go. The attack is stored in his body. So as that child grows up, that fight response that was truncated, that was stopped because he couldn't do it because he was a baby, so it was trapped in his system, comes out later. So you'll have a child that perhaps is brushed against at school, and for no reason, the child turns around and punches the other kid in the face. And people are like, whoa, where did that come from? And then that kid gets into trouble. And then that kid might not even know why he did it. But that, you know, it's all a somatic response that this kid has had. But what I noticed was in my own children, so we... have much less of it now, thank goodness, but we used to have a lot of violence in the home, and what I noticed was there was also mini truncated responses happening. So when my eldest child would try to attack my youngest child, the next day the youngest child at school would attack a friend, because I would obviously stop the attack because I didn't want them hurt, but the youngest child couldn't defend himself, one, because he wasn't as strong, and two, because I stopped it because I don't want anyone getting hurt. So he went and had this, and so all this was trapped in his body. Well, that kind of changed everything for me. So now I know if there is a bust up, luckily much less, I need to get rid of that response because it's in the body. And if I don't get rid of it, it comes out later.
Yeah,
I'm making it sound like I'm all fancy. It's not as hard, because how do you get rid of a fight response? But it's changed a lot for us in terms of, I recognise that when things have been stored in the body and they need to get out, so there's less violence at school then. So, it's kind of truncated response, but...
I totally relate to that, with similar circumstances that we've had in the past as well, and thankfully we're beyond that as well. So, I totally get that. So the way you've described it, well done, Helen.
Oh, God.
If you can get me to understand it, you've got a whole throughout the land, to be fair. So,
a high pressure moment, I felt.
Yeah, I was nervous. I sweated a bit.
And for a teacher, that was an amazing answer.
He's joining in on the fun now, obviously. Yeah. Clearly.
I can't work out if that's less fun or more fun.
I think I would rather do your job than a teacher's job right now, but
we're coming up to our time limit. We said we would go till about 8:45, so we're about 8:45. We don't want to keep you too late, because obviously got books to mark and things, the gift that keeps on giving,
You know how he's turned it around back on you, Helen. Like, it's your fault. He didn't do his thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What was I going to say, though? You kindly sent us through a PDF, it's amazing. We're going to have to be able to share that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it even says on there, like you've done it for the Wednesday webcast as well, which is amazing. Oh. Thank you. It was really nice to see the ride. I got really excited. It's a little bit like having the merch, you know.
I've got to have merch.
But obviously we'll put that out with them. Yeah, you've not got yours on tonight, Al.
Keep going.
So what other things can people access from Beacon House?
The website address, which you could put on the comments, it's www.beaconhouse.org/resources. Right. So there's a huge range on there, including the one that I made for you guys today, which is all our therapists and their kind of top tips for lightening the load in lockdown. So that's kind of that from their point of view. And so there's loads of things. So stuff on developmental trauma for adoptive families and people that foster and special guardians. Then there's stuff explaining the neurosequential model, which is the model that we base our work on. And then there is stuff for schools, and there's stuff for just general mental health as well. So that's our stuff. And then we've got the inner world work stuff, which is on there too. And then a ton of other links to all sorts of places, because we're not the only people that do amazing things. So there's loads and loads. I mean, I think there's about 100 links on there to other places. Yeah. So there's loads of links to resources, but just remember it's okay to do nothing. Therapeutically do nothing. No, but it's a lot of pressure, isn't it? I find it a lot of pressure as an adoptive parent to be therapeutic all the time, and it's exhausting. So it's okay just to have a cuddle instead, and if they don't want a cuddle, just sit on the other side of the room and make eye contact every now and then. We've also got a YouTube channel where we put all our free animations, which people use either for training or looking at stuff with the teenagers. And then we've also got training, which we've kept as cheap as we can for, I think, how to help your dysregulated child is the most relevant one right now, which is about £30, I think. So, and that's on our website too.
Yeah.
So there's loads on there.
Yeah. Wow. Fab. I was just going to make a comment there. Ursula Beck just said that you made a very clear explanation.
Yay. Phew.
If I can get it and Ursula can get it. Sorry, Ursula. I don't mean to put you in the same box as me. You did yourself proud.
You.
So. Yeah, you're doing well for a teacher.
Floating away.
Oh, no.
You're what?
His career's fine.
Career? I don't know.
That went about an hour ago. But this is a skill, mate. Sorry to say. Well, listen, Helen, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I know that you're not used to doing this sort of stuff. So hopefully you'll come on again and we can maybe talk more about life story work. We love to talk about life story, don't we, Al?
I love life story work.
Yeah. And in my head, I was thinking, why does a school do life story work? But I was going, it'd be good. That's so progressive. That's amazing.
So progressive as a school.
I work with a fool. So just let people know, next week we have a lovely guest coming on who I know and Al knows really well. So we've got Jane Pickall coming on, who is a virtual school head, isn't she, Al? And she runs a school.
So. She runs a virtual school for North Tyneside. She's also the head of the Virtual School Head Association, which the name has just escaped me. But honestly, I'll probably get on to her about pottery or tyre fitting by tonight's current form. So who knows what she'll talk about.
Oh dear, yes. Well, let's hope you get a ride next week, shall we? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have to have a team talk after this, Scott.
Yeah, we really are. We definitely are. I think it's your annual review, actually.
All right. Comment in the anyway.
Helen, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And I'm sure that once we've shared some of your resources as well, I'm sure that everybody knows who Beacon House are anyway, but it's really good to know that, you know, the organisations like Beacon House are really helping families during such a tough time. So thank you. And to anybody listening, we will see you next week when we'll be joined by Jane Pickall.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tatty bye.